Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 32. And I'm going to read down through the 40th verse. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like men watching for their masters to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and he knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word, and may he write its truth upon our hearts. The question is, are you ready? This is a fascinating passage. Jesus has been talking about not worrying about the things of life. You go back and read the first parts of this chapter. There's the parable of the rich fool, which we talked about last week. And then Jesus tells the disciples that one of the key things that all disciples need to learn is that we're not to worry. Now, I don't know about you, but it just seems to be inbred in almost everyone that worry is a part of what we all do. We worry about things that we don't need to worry about. And when we don't have something to worry about, we worry about that. Jesus said, for the disciples, we don't have to worry. And he ends that passage with the verses that I read. Because what he is saying is that when we have our treasure stored up in heaven, the reason we don't have to worry is because nothing can take away what God has given us. When our treasures are in heaven, when our heart is set upon God, when God is the first in our lives, nothing can rob us of that. So, Jesus moves on in what he is doing, and he talks about another thing that all disciples need to participate in. And that's being prepared. Getting ready. Getting ready for what? Getting ready for the kingdom. Getting ready for Jesus to return. Getting ready for the day when Jesus comes back. We don't know when that is. Jesus even said that no man knows the hour, nor the time, not even the Son. Jesus doesn't even know. God knows. And only the Father knows. But Jesus is teaching that you and I have to be ready. We are not to become trapped by the tyranny of time that surrounds us. We all are slaves to this. Every single one of us in our own way. We are slaves to it. I'm a slave to it. I have to be done by a certain time so that I can get to Catala. Isn't that awful? Not that I have to go to Catala, but that I have to be done at a certain time. That we have to finish the service at a certain time. God forbid that the Spirit move and we have to do something a little bit longer. We all are slaves to time. We set our alarm clocks to get up in the morning because we have things to do. We have to be at work at a certain time. We clock in and we clock out. We are slaves to this thing that is really a creation of mankind. The closest God came to creating time was, He said, there was the light and there was the night, and the morning and the evening were a day. And from there we pieced everything together and we created our own tyranny that we live under. What Jesus wants us to understand here is when God is first, while we still have the pressures of this world, while we still have all of those things going on, the thing that is the most important is for each of us to be ready. Now, Jesus uses the analogy of a servant and a master, or servants, actually, and a master. The master goes off and leaves the house in the care of the servants, and he goes to a wedding banquet. Wedding banquets in those days could last days. They were celebrations, not like weddings of today. We've talked about how weddings begin with a betrothal period, and that betrothal period lasts a year. And then when it comes down to the celebration of the actual wedding, that is a week-long process. In Jewish culture, they weren't worried about getting it done and over with. They were worried about the whole party around the celebration of the union of a couple. And so, when it talks about the master going to a wedding feast, quite literally, you couldn't say, well, that feast ought to be over about midnight, so we might better be ready. It might be midnight 7 days from now. You see, if you could predict it, it takes the whole meaning out of this story. What Jesus is saying is these servants have to go about their business. But they have to go about their business while being prepared for the master to return. What would you do if you were told that Jesus was going to return tonight at 6 o'clock? And that's when He was going to return. What would you spend your day doing? That's an important question. One to stop and consider. The correct answer to the question, if there is such a thing as a correct answer to the question, is what I was going to do anyway. You see, Jesus coming back isn't something that we are to fret about. If we knew Jesus was coming back at 6 o'clock tonight, and we knew that for a fact because God had told us that's when it was going to happen, God doesn't want us to get frantic. God doesn't want us to be afraid. God doesn't work that way. God is not a God of fear. As a matter of fact, perfect love casts out all fear. You see, if we knew Jesus was coming back, the point isn't what we would do the rest of the day. The point is, have we prepared for that event already? If we have, if we've got oil in our lamps, and our lamps are trimmed, if the house is in order, all we have to do is go about doing what we normally would do and be ready when the Master comes. That's the image that this story paints of the servants. They are not fretting. They are not worried. But yet, they are prepared. In the Greek, it talks about the fact that they have their waists girded. What that means is they wore long robes as a general rule in that day and time. And they had a way in which they would take the wrapping, because it was really it wasn't just something you pull over your head all the time. Most of the time it was like a cloak. And they had a way of taking it and wrapping it and tying it around their waist so that it became like a pair of shorts, if you will, so that they could move fast. They would be ready to go at a moment's notice. The passage talks about the servants are prepared. They're prepared for whatever happens, whenever it happens. Their waists are girded in preparation for the coming of the Master. Are we preparing ourselves ahead of time for the Master to come back? Are our lamps trimmed and lit? In other words, have you got the oil in the lamp? Have you got it lit and you got that wick set at the right height? We don't have oil lamps very much anymore, unless you just have them for decoration or for when the lights go out in the house. We always had hurricane lamps. That's what we called them. They're oil lamps. We called them hurricane lamps because that's what we used in Florida when I was growing up. When the lights go out, you make sure the hurricane lamps are all around the house so that you can light them, so that you'll have something to see by. Just like in the old days, before we had these fancy things called electric lights. The servants had to have that because what if the Master comes back at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m.? In the middle of the night when it's dark, you better have your lamps ready so that when the Master comes, you can go to the door and open the door immediately and let the Master in. You have to have everything ready. The image of this servant actually shows two things, I believe. One is preparation. The other is expectation. How do we prepare for the Master to come back? We prepare by getting our lives in order, by giving our life to Christ. That's where it begins, because believe me, you are going to be frantic if the Lord's coming back and you haven't gotten ready. Because when the Lord comes back, it's going to be too late. We have to make those preparations ahead of time, and we do that by coming to the foot of the cross. We do that by giving our hearts and our lives to God. We do that by confessing our sin and asking God to forgive us. Because Paul's right. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, no matter how good we think we are. There's none of us that are good. Not one, the Scripture says. Our finest clothes are as filthy rags before the Lord. That used to bug me until I understood what it meant. It didn't mean we were walking around in nasty, dirty clothes. It means that because God is holy, nothing that we have or are compares to that. We get ready, first off, by putting our lives in order and having Christ to be Lord of our lives. So are we prepared? Have we done that? Have we given our lives to Christ? Have you? The second thing is expectation. These servants weren't worried about the master coming back. They were excited about it. They were expectant. I think that we need to reflect the same attitude. Yeah, you can go over and read the book of Revelation and at times it'll scare you to death. At times it'll give you some encouragement. The thing that I would always tell you and remind you if you're trying to understand the book of Revelation is the book of Revelation was written to encourage believers. It wasn't written to scare us. It was written to let us know in the end, God wins. And we have no fear. Because Satan can throw everything in the world there is against us, and he will. He'll try every trick in his book. But he's beaten. It happened 2,000 years ago. It's over. It's done. He just hadn't got it through his thick head yet. It's coming. It's coming. The book of Revelation tells us that we can expect Jesus to return. That we can expect to share in the glories of heaven. That we can expect to spend eternity with the Creator of all things and the Redeemer of all things. There's no if, there's no ands, and there's no buts. There's no question. When we've done the first thing, which is make preparation by giving our lives to Christ, then this is what we can expect. Is for Jesus to come back. Jesus, over in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, passage you hear at funerals a lot. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back to get you so that you can be where I am. Now, I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be, is where Jesus is. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I'm not going to worry about it. But I'm expecting it. Are we expecting Jesus to come back? If we are, we're going to be watchful. But that doesn't mean we stop doing everything else. That's not what God wants. If we did that, there wouldn't be anybody going out there trying to evangelize the world, to share the good news of Christ. Why? What's the point? Jesus wants us to be engaged in the world that we live in. We live in this world that is a part of the creation of God. We live in it. We're not a part of it in the sense that when we come to Christ, our home is in heaven. Our home is with God, not here. But we are to be engaged so that others might know the joy of His salvation. So that others might know the peace that God has to bring. The result of all of this is absolutely amazing. The result of being prepared. The result of having an expectant and watchful heart. Is that when the Master comes, listen what happens again. It'll be good for those servants whose Master finds them ready, even if he comes at the second or third watch of the night. Back in verse 37, right before that, it says, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself as a servant. He will have them recline at table. And he'll serve them. It sounds just like what Jesus did in the upper room the night that he was betrayed. He had the disciples to sit or recline at the table for the Passover meal. Jesus got down on his hands and knees with a basin and a towel, and he served his disciples. The amazing thing, it just defies understanding. I dare you, I challenge you to look at any other religion of the world and find one hint in any other religion of a God who will serve you. Try and find it. It's not there. We serve a God of mercy and grace. A God who's willing to wrap the towel, to wrap his garment around his waist, to wrap a towel around his arm, to get down on his hands and knees and serve you and wash your feet. That's the God we serve. When we are ready, when we are expectant, God comes to us, comes in the house, his own house. And he says, recline at table. It's your turn to be honored. And he serves them and he feeds them a meal. It's an incredible thought. Sometimes I wonder whether the image that we put in our minds of the banquet feast of the Lamb may have it all wrong. Sometimes I wonder if when we get to that banquet feast, if what we're not going to see is Jesus with a towel and a basin that is going to walk around all of his children and serve them at that great feast. You remember what Peter's reaction was in the upper room? Lord, don't wash my feet. I'm afraid I'd be that way at first. I would be so in awe. And I think that's why Peter reacted that way. Peter could not see Jesus doing this. And Jesus said, I have to do this. And then remember what Peter said? Well, Lord, then wash my head and everything. Well, no. Peter, you don't need that. Your feet are dusty from the road. Your feet need washing. You see, when we're clean before the Lord, when we've given our heart to Christ, when we've been forgiven, we don't need all that other. But what we do need is Jesus to serve us. And that is so hard to comprehend, that God loves us that much. But he does. He really does. It's time to get ready. I don't know when it's going to be. And don't let anybody else out there in the world that's trying to set dates and times and everything else next year frighten you, because they don't know either. They're just trying to make money off of it. But it doesn't matter if it's tomorrow, if it's next year, or if it's 1,000 years. It doesn't matter. We have to get ready. Be prepared. Be watchful. Be expectant. Because the one thing I can promise you is Jesus is coming again. And we can celebrate that. Let us pray. Father, help us to get ready. Help us not only to be ready, but to be watchful and expectant. Help us to be so ready that we can just be ourselves, rather than trying to frantically deal with dates and times that some people out there are trying to tie into the end of the world. Let us just be prepared and know that Jesus is coming soon. We don't know when, but we're looking forward to it, whenever it might be. Lord, help us to prepare so that we, Your children, might be ready. In Jesus' name, Amen.